Documentary photography has enjoyed an iconic status in the history of this discipline. Think wars, sports, beauty pageants, and street scenes. But today, everyone's at it. Our mobile phones have cameras, and with a few clicks, the images are edited, archived, and displayed on the internet in just a few seconds. So what's happened to the professional documentary photographer? For many, the shoot is over, and it's time to turn on the darkroom lights. The BBC's Laura Huber attends the funeral of documentary photography in Los Angeles.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to lay to rest that great tradition of photography, the documentary. The Great Depression, World War II, helicopters in Hanoi.
Los Angeles's Reverend Richard Bangs is not much of a practicing minister, but the couples at his wedding ceremonies don't need a photographer. Friends do it better. So he's burying still photography in the desert dust next to silent films and 3D glasses. Well, actually, those are making a comeback.
Henri Cartier-Bresson, Robert Capa, Walker Evans, Eugene Smith, Sophia Lang.
In the era of digital images, citizen journalists, YouTube, Flickr, and a myriad of websites, the figure of a hired documentary photographer feels like a lonely dinosaur, especially in Los Angeles, a city that routinely kills off its past without regret. And yet photographers refuse to go quietly. And somehow at the Getty Museum, an exhibit called Engaged Observers, Documentary Photography Since the 60s, is breaking museum box office records. It's the most well-attended photography show the museum has ever held. There, Philip Jones Griffith's photographs of Vietnam and Sebastio Salgado's images of immigration are engaging some younger viewers for the first time. And it's not just the classics. A fashionably dressed teacher stands in front of magazine-type images. Girls putting on makeup in a mirror, an actress dressed in a Versace gown, a teenager pushing her boobs together in a dressing room, while her friends look on in judgment and solidarity. Viewers seem thrilled about the photos.
Body image and how girls believe that their exterior is what makes them special. I look back to high school and think, God, how superficial, you know? Yet still I get up and put makeup on, you know? But I mean, it's so sad, and it makes me think, like, goodness, if I have a daughter someday. I mean, just from looking at this made me think, I'm going to work so hard to try and teach her and show her that that's not what should be important. And girls should not be saying that my clothes aren't cool enough or, you know, I'm not thin enough. People are not going to like me. Girls don't have a voice. It was very powerful and made me, you know, think a lot.
Photographer Lauren Greenfield made the images the girl is talking about. She sees the challenge of being a photographer today in a wider context.
What has been hard is the crisis in journalism and in print, not so much for lack of an audience, because the audience on the internet seems just as hungry for information, and not just any information, but thoughtful, digested, in-depth information. But there isn't really a financial model for that. And so it's very hard for us to find funding for in-depth stories.
To do the work she loves, Greenfield now shoots commercials and, more recently, documentary films.
I'm making my third film, and I also continued using video and audio in my photography work.
Susan Micellis is another photographer in the exhibit who's expanded her repertoire, not so much out of commercial, but artistic necessity. When she photographed the revolution in Nicaragua in the late 1970s, her photographs were considered game-changing. She shot in color at a time when serious war photography was done in black and white. Since then, she's returned to the country repeatedly to make sense of what she first photographed. And 10 years after the revolution, she returned to make a documentary that tracked down the people in the book and asked them about what happened around the moment of their lives captured on film.
When you hear the voice of the subject, the photograph is deeply challenged, you know. I mean, it's a surface, it's a composition, and then it's a person, and it's a life.
But in a world where everyone has the ability to make videos and post them on Facebook or YouTube, is there really a need for the outside observer to explain the world to the rest of us?
We're closer, we have more instant exchange, but do we know each other as well as we could? You know, I still, whether it's voices from within or voices coming from outside, I think there's, if anything, more need to communicate in depth about cultural change and conflict.
It's the narrative storytelling talents of these photographers that might point to a financial future of a craft in crisis. At least that's the take of Frank Evers, CEO of Institute for Artist Management, a company that manages the careers of documentary photographers. Evers sees hope where others see demise.
We as a people have always been interested in stories and each other's stories and hearing stories, and I think we live in a world where we're exposed actually to more stories. So I'm really hopeful about the future for storytellers. I think that the sky is the limit.
Unfortunately, with so many free or very cheap images on the web, it's likely the editor, these days known as the curator, who will likely be telling the stories. So says Richard Bangs.
The concept of dispatching somebody to the field to come back with the best possible story is an antiquated notion. There are too many people out there already armed with all the gear they need to bring back the goods, and it's just a question of sorting through it and assembling it in the best possible way.
On Montana Avenue, a Tony shopping street in the beach community of Santa Monica, a children's parade is documented by an army of photographers, most of them parents. I asked them if they would consider hiring a professional to photograph their children.
Would not, no.
You would not?
Probably not. Well, if we had a lot of money, maybe, yeah.
We will eventually hire one to do portraits of the kids, yeah.
We say that, we never have. We do. We say that we will, and then we never have.
No. I'm the photographer.
And so you think you can do as good of a job as if you hired somebody?
Yeah.
On a street corner, a lone figure carrying a Hasselblad camera squats and shoots. Knut Egil Wang is a documentary photographer from Norway who still uses film. With the rise of digital photography, he has seen his sales wither. He gets paid less and he lives on less, and he's not hopeful about the future of his profession. He's not giving up yet, but the sound of his camera already seems an echo of a past few still recognize and fewer still will miss.
That report from the BBC's Laura Hubbard. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the death of professional photography or anything else on the program. Go to hereandnow.org and click on Contact Us to send an email, or scroll down and leave a comment, or call us. The number is 617-358-0397. That's 617-358-0397. You can also follow us on Twitter at Here and Now. You're listening to Here and Now.